because it was that good. And I just think that old-fashioned, good, godly music will help the soul for sure, and I praise the Lord for it. Well, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 2 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 2. We have been in the life of David for so long, I couldn't even tell you. Probably Lance could go back, but we have been in the life of David for so long, and tonight David dies, and we begin to move into the story of Solomon. And now, I know that I didn't preach every message in order through 1 Kings here. We've already looked at how David charged Solomon and the things that he told him. He told him to show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, and then he made it very clear that there were some who needed the judgment of God. You could call it the judgment of David, but really it was the judgment of God. And so there was the man Joab finally is going to come to his demise. And Adonijah is the story we're going to talk about tonight. Last message, several weeks ago, we looked at the pride of Adonijah, and it began his downfall. If you'll remember with me, Adonijah decided that he was going to exalt himself to be king, but that was not God's plan. So tonight I'll preach this message like this, and I'm called it I entitle it this: A Plan Against God is No Plan at All. Because any plan that you have in your life that does not line up with the Word of God or the will of God is always going to backfire or come to disappointment. So let's stand in 1 Kings chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years, 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And I want you to know that that is an amazing verse, and you could preach a whole message out of that. And we're going to be looking at the story of Solomon more closely beginning next week. But I want you to notice that Adonijah, the son who had never been told no, decides that he's not king, and he tried to exalt himself as king, and that was thwarted, but that wasn't good enough. Now listen, if a young man like a prince has never been told no, he's not going to take no for an answer. And God's answer to him being the king is no. Now his pride is not only going to cause him to fall, it's going to cause him to die. Because he tries to plan against God, and when you try to plan against God, that's no plan at all. And Adonijah, verse 13, the son of Haggath, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." Now, the last message, he was close to becoming king, or not really close, but if he had become king, one of the first execution would have been Solomon and Bathsheba and the family of Solomon. And now he's trying to come around the back porch, so to speak. He said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine." Liar, liar. "And that all Israel set their faces on me." Lie number 2. "And that I should reign." Lie number 3. "Howbeit the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's." Now notice, he actually says something true. "For it was his from who?" From the Lord. Well, if it's his from the Lord, then why would you try to plan against anything that God would be for? But people do it every day. "Now, as I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Well, will you speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king? For he will not say thee nay." He's not going to tell you no. that he give me Abishaga the Shunammite to wife. Now this was the young lady that took care of David the last part of his life. Now just so you'll know, if you go and study the customs of this day, this would be literally the equivalent of saying, if I can take this young lady, if I can take part of David's wives or harem or however you want to put it, if I could have her as my wife, then in the eyes of the custom of the day, he could claim once again to be the king of Israel. Now, the only thing I don't see in the text, and I don't know this, is why Bathsheba did not know this. Because apparently, this was not something that she understood, but Solomon did. All Adonijah did is say, well, I know that if I can get to the mother of Solomon, then I can get to Solomon. That's kind of like people who say, well, I can't get to the pastor, so I'll get to the pastor's wife. Which, just so you'll know, that my wife has been instructed that when you try to get to me through her, and by the way, this has happened, that she is going to tell you, I'm not the pastor, my husband is the pastor. She has enough to do herself trying to be my wife. How would you like that task? May God bless her already. So don't try to get to me through my wife. If you need to talk to me, I'm available. Do you see the idea, though, that here is, and I'm going to use this correctly, but don't get mad at me. If Adonijah could get to the weaker vessel, then maybe he could get to Solomon. But we already see that even though the wisdom of Solomon is not fully known yet, Solomon understood what Adonijah was trying to do. And so Bathsheba says, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her. This would be what we would call respect and honor to our parents, and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on the right hand. Now, I don't think you, surely that you've been in church long enough to know that those that sat at the right hand, like Jesus at the right hand of God, this was a place of honor. And she said, I desire one small petition of thee. This ain't a small petition. But this is the way Bathsheba looked at it. Now, what I believe is, as best as I could surmise, Bathsheba is one of these people who likes to keep peace in the family. Every family's got them. My family has them. If you want to ask me who they are, I can tell you. But sometimes peace cannot be made. And here, Bathsheba's trying to make peace with the brothers, her son. And the king said, well, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. You see, Adonijah understood that. She's not going to say no to Solomon. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, verse 21, and she said, let Abishai the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And basically, Solomon's going, excuse me? Excuse me, that's how we had said it today. Did I hear you right? Did Adonijah make this request? And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishai the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also? For he is my elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and fell upon him, and he died. Abiathar shall be removed from the priesthood. Solomon will be king. Now, I would say this was a plan that backfired. Because a plan against God is no plan at all. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, the story. These are real men, real events. This goes to show us how people will try to get around the will of God, the ways of God, the purposes of God, that people can be used. We need to be careful that we do not allow someone to use us against the ways of God, the will of God. And I'm not going to get on to Bathsheba, but it seems that she was more concerned about keeping peace in the family. And really what was happening here was Adonijah once again trying to take the will of God and throw it out the door and become king himself. So I pray we would learn some serious principles and some great applications from the story tonight as we go through this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you what happened. I already told Robin this, so I wouldn't get in trouble. But when I sat down to write a message or put a message together after reading and trying to get all this stuff in my head, I just start typing. I used to write. I used to write everything out. But now I've got proficient enough that I can just type, and I'll just sit there and type. And I'll have over here my points, you know, this is a point here and a point here, and then sub-points. I don't do sub-sub-points. I do points and sub-points. That's it. I may have one point, and then I may have 25 sub-points or 25 things that go along with that or whatever it might be. And so when I'm writing in the introduction, I just write it. When I get done, normally, my normal practice is to print it out, and then I go over it. And I'll mark this out, and I'll change this, and I'll add this by hand, and then I'll go back and I'll change it in the text with my computer before I finally... And then if you ever see a message for me that's been marked out and written on and all that, it's because I never went back and retyped it or finished it. But I was telling Robin that I said I did this, and when I got ready to read it, I meant to write, life can bring disappointments. But instead I wrote, wife can bring disappointment. Wife can bring disappointment, but God is still good, and God is not surprised by these things. So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking maybe I should just write two lines and leave both of those in there so that if anybody ever finds my messages and wants to write, they'll go, wow, back in 2022, the boy had problems. But it's not wife can bring disappointments. It's life can bring disappointments. And what we see here in this story is that, and I believe this, I believe that we should have goals. I believe young people should have goals. But I think those goals that we have need to line up with the Word of God. I mean, we can talk about the providence of God. We can talk about the will of God. We can talk about the Word of God. We can talk about, especially if you live in a home where your parents have brought you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I mean, they have your best interests at heart. But there comes a time when you have to go, okay, this is my goal. I mean, like a goal, like reading your Bible through. I mean, that's a goal. You should have goals. This past year, I went back and I looked at some of the goals that I'd made for myself personally, not spiritually, but personally, like I wanted to read so many books this year. And I remember writing that down in my Bible reading calendar. In fact, in your Bible reading calendar, there's a place back there for some things that maybe you have a goal for. And now we're in getting close to December, so people are start thinking about, what's my goal? What would I like to accomplish? What would I like to see? How much weight would I like to lose? I go and run, you know, I run several times a week, and I always hate January because about 1,000 people show up, and I know it won't last but about 3 weeks because by the 1st of February, they'll all be gone because they had these goals that they were going to lose 100 pounds or run 100 miles or they're going to do this, and they did it for 2 weeks. Well, I've been doing it for 22 years, really, or actually more than that, 15, 16 years as far as the elliptical. Before that, I used to like to run. But I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with having goals of reading books. And I had a goal of reading six very good books. In other words, not just a pamphlet. I mean a book. You know what I'm saying? 200 to 1,000 pages of book. Now those are books. And I begin to look and I thought, wow, if I finish the book I'm reading now, I'll have read 8 books this year. And I'm telling you, that's a good goal. We should have a goal of reading our Bible every day. We need to have a goal of making sure that we spend time with God on a daily basis. But we can have other goals, like whatever it might be, losing weight, reading books, running, whatever it might be. But here's what we need to understand, and those are very small things. We need to have a goal, listen to this, of marrying the right person. Amen. That we would not marry outside of the will of God. Amen. We need to try to get God's mind on, Lord, what would you have me to do? God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. If God did, then where would the church members be that would help in the support of those things? But God does call men to preach. God does call men to pastor. God does call men to missions. God does do those things. But God also uses people to be doctors and lawyers. Well, I don't know if he actually calls them to be that. But anyhow, and sorry, I got sidetracked there. Plumbers and CPAs. And I'm just telling you, everybody. But listen, we need to see, even in those things of lifetime choices, we need to seek the will of God. Amen. And our plans and our goals need to line up with God's will, or this is what will happen. We'll find great disappointment. I think we should have good plans, godly plans. We should have good goals and godly goals, but they must line up with the will of God. And then I think one of the most important things also to understand is this. Sometimes life just doesn't turn out exactly the way we planned it. And the reason that happens is because God is in control with our ultimate plans. God is in control of the ultimate things that happen in our life, even the things that we certainly can't explain whatsoever. Sometimes plans just don't turn out as we expect, but we need to make sure that if we're going to have goals and we're going to have plans, they line up with God's Word. Amen. They're not outside of the will of God. Somebody was telling me a testimony of a man, and he was he had gotten saved, and he lived in New Jersey, and he got gloriously saved, but he worked in a casino in Atlantic City, and he continued to work his job after getting saved, and it was one of the men that worked in the casino that rebuked him. It wasn't a Christian, which it should have been. You need to think about, you need to understand that the business that you're in, that is not God's will. You see, gambling is not the will of God. I don't think it would be the will of God for any Berean Baptist church member to work in a casino. Amen. Now, I'm just telling, and so there was a lost man who rebuked him and said, if you are a child of God, why, and you claim to be a Christian, why would you work in an industry that would be against the will of God or against the Word of God? He quit the very next day, even though he had high pain. Well, good, because it was the will of God that he not work there. I'm just saying to you, life can bring disappointments. Not wives, but life. Not wife, but life. But I'm telling you, our plans need to line up with God. Now, we've already spent a lot of time on Adonijah and his personality of, and I was thinking about this just this morning, and I was just trying to get this in my mind, and I was thinking about the wisdom of Solomon and the messages that were coming up, and thinking about the Proverbs that he wrote, and thinking about the songs that he wrote, and thinking about, his cycle of life and Ecclesiastes. And And here's the, when I read through the Proverbs, here's what I believe. Here's what I believe, and I believe the scriptures kind of bear this out. But I believe David was not a very good father for most of his children. I mean, he was too busy killing Philistines to give instruction to people like Absalom and Adonijah And those are the two main ones. There's others, but those are the two we know that rebelled against their father and tried to overthrow him. But on the other hand, Solomon was the child of his older age. And it was Solomon that he was able to spend more time with in the issues of life and how to be the right kind of person and how to turn your heart toward God. And I believe that that is the reason that God chose Solomon, because Solomon had a heart that was more turned toward God than any of these other boys. And I think that we need to be careful. I think parents, listen to this, I think parents need to be careful, especially men who are career-minded and who are trying to build a business, do a business, trying to be the breadwinner. Now listen, this really goes to task when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. But listen to me, you need to make sure you take time for your children. Amen. That you teach them. That you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That you just don't send them to church, but you bring your family to church. Amen. And you can just write it down right now. Those who will get out of the will of God and out of the way of God and their children. It's always the children that suffer greatly. Amen. When people get too busy for the Lord. And I'm telling you, we see that with guys like Absalom and Adonijah. I think another reason, of course, Adonijah, he had never been told no. Never been told no. And then, of course, you have the relationship that caused caused the death of one of his sons, Absalom, killing him. And I'm just telling you, life doesn't always turn out the way we think. But Adonijah was a prince, if I can put it that way, who wanted to go outside of God's plan. And that's no plan at all. Amen. That's only going to end in disaster. The fact the Bible says, tells us in our last verse that he died. The plans and the schemes of a guy like Adonijah did nothing except backfire against him. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you go against the will of God, the way of God, the word of God, and you have a different plan, it'll always backfire. Amen. It'll always backfire. And this one, that exploded in his face. And David, we know that is very close to death in the last several chapters. He gives Solomon his final instruction. And I'll just give you a little snippet of what when we preached on that message about the charge that Solomon was given by David. He said, listen, take care of Barzillai. Barzillai's family was to be rewarded. Joab and Shimei were to be judged. And then the Bible says David died in verse number 10 and then verse number 11. That David reigned 40 years in Hebron. And so basically David was about 70 years old when he died. And those 7 years he raised in Hebron. And then he came to the capital of God. It really is. It's the city of God. It is the capital of God. It is a city that if you ever have the opportunity to go there, it'll mess you up. Because I told my wife when we were in Jerusalem, and we were in Jerusalem about 5 days, and I said to my wife, I said, and I know I've told you this, but I'm going to tell it again, because every time I think about Jerusalem, and I think about reading about the peace of Jerusalem, I think about the city, I think about how Joab fought the Jebusites off and they were able to take the city. I think I can see the city, how it's set up on a hill. And there's just, I mean, right now the goosebumps are on my neck right now. And what I mean by that is, I think you know me well enough. You know, I'm not much of a touchy-feely, I need a hug kind of guy. I don't need a hug. I need to be left alone. You know, this is how I hug, like this. But saying all that, I was emotional in Jerusalem. And just to tell you that, I said, you know how you go through life and you meet somebody that is a child of God. You meet somebody who is saved. You meet somebody that has what I call the kindred spirit. And so you're like, my spirit bears witness with the spirit of this person. And I have certain friends and people that are preachers that maybe it'll be 5 months before I see them, and when I see them, we pick up right where we left off. I love those kind of friendships, and they're in the ministry, and I'm in the ministry, and they're on the mission field, or they're somewhere else, and I'm here, and all this kind of stuff. But somehow, life brings you to the place where you're able to reconnect, and you kind of take up. That's because our spirits. And then there's sometimes I run into people, and I'm like, their spirit don't bear witness with my spirit. There's something that's just not jive here. That's why I love church. My wife even made, once again, the statement this week is, you know, to go from Tuesday all the way to Sunday, that's a long way not to see people that you love and that you enjoy and you fellowship with, because these be my people. And sometimes you meet people and say, these ain't my people. And so I'm just getting you to understand that when we say their spirit bears witness with my spirit, I've never said that to a city. I mean, you know, I'm from Tennessee. I'm Tennessee born. I'm Tennessee bred. When I die, I'll be Tennessee dead. But, you know, I love Missouri. I live in Missouri. My body's going to be buried in Missouri, but cut my heart out and buried in Tennessee. You know, we say stuff like that because of how we grew up and what all that kind of stuff. And so, but anyhow, here's what I'm trying to get around to saying. This message is getting longer and longer. Is if you go to a place like Jerusalem, you're going to find out that your spirit actually bears witness with the city of God. And you're like, this is God's city. That was with David. God chose David to be in the line of the Messiah. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. David had many failures. David was not a perfect man, but he was a man of God. And he was a man after God's own heart. And one thing about David, when he sinned, he also was a great repenter. Amen. He was able to turn his heart from the wickedness that he had done in the flesh and turn it back to God. And oh my, when I get in trouble or when I am overwhelmed or when life seems to be just closing in on me, where do we go? We go to the Psalms. When I was in Bible college and we were trying to live one meal to the next, it seemed like, where did I go? I went to Psalm. Why? Because David wrote those in times of trouble, in times of temptation, in times of sin, in times of repentance. God did that. And where did that happen? Jerusalem. That's the city of God. 33 years David was in Jerusalem. And let me just say this, and I'll try to move on. As wonderful as David was, and even though he was a man after God's own heart, listen to this, he died. He went the way of all men. Outside of the coming of the Lord, every person in this room is going to die. That's why it is so important to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that people might have an opportunity to be saved. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You just not know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And many people have their own plans. They have these plans that are outside of the will of God. Can I put it like this? Death is just plain rude. It's rude. I don't know any way else to put it. And what I mean by rudeness, it can barge into our life unwelcomed and unexpected. And that's why people need to be saved. Paul said it correctly when he said, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, you know, I can't even tell you how many messages we've preached on David. David shows up there when Saul anoints him. I mean, he shows up when Samuel anoints him to be king as a little boy. I mean, they were mad at him from the beginning. Just like Adonijah's mad because God didn't select him. And then in verse number 12, this is a great verse in verse 12. Then sat Solomon, David's dead now. And by the way, I was thinking about this. We're not always going to be where we're at. It's not always going to be It's not always going to be like we think it's going to be. And that goes for all of us. One day your time will be over. Just like I love that our young people said, this is the future of Berean Baptist Church. I love a congregation of the older folks, and I'm not going to give that definition of older. But then you have those young, you have those families, you have those young people, and then you have the children. My favorite one is when they turn 3. They throw them out of the nursery. That's when the rubber meets the road right there. You remember when you were 3? I'm talking to you, Lahayla. No, you don't. I bet your parents do. Casey, are you 3 now? Oh, yeah. You're not 3? Yes, she is. Are you past 3? Just say yes, okay. Oh, yeah. So, anyhow, move on. Solomon becomes king. Let me say this about Solomon. Solomon didn't ask to be king. Solomon did not connive to be king. Solomon did not try to kill people to become king. Solomon did not rebel against his father to become king. Solomon waited for God's call and God's timing and God's will. And now he's king. And oh, by the way, he's going to magnify the problems of his father. But yet he's going to take Israel to their greatest heights that they've ever been. He's going to build a temple for God. He's going to have wisdom like no man has ever had wisdom. He is going to be so wise and so powerful that he is the most powerful man on all of the face of the earth. He's going to have so much power. He's going to have so much money. He's going to have so much wisdom that when the Queen of Sheba shows up and sees all, when she just sees how many people sit down and eat every day at his table, she passes out. Literally. The Bible says there was no spirit in her. Solomon didn't try to overrule the plan of God. Solomon came to the throne God's way. And here's what the Bible says in verse number 12. That his kingdom was established greatly. But now we have this story that shows up where we have the problem of a plan that is outside of the will of God. And that is Adonijah. And Adonijah, again, while he had very difficult time in accepting no for an answer. Let me tell you something. When I tell my kids or grandkids no, I think by now they understand when I say no, I mean no. Now you can ask any one of them. And I'm not trying to be ugly or anything like that. But one of the things I taught my kids as they were real little, and I'm talking about when they're crawling, and they always go for the flame, the fireplace. And I would always say, no. And I said it about like that. Now some people think, no. I think no is better. No. Because they hear my voice. And my wife says, well, you don't have to say it like that. To which I say, oh, yes, I do. Because I want them to know emphatically that is something that is important that they do not do. Now it is so good that I got me one of them fireplaces. They ain't even got no glass on it. I just open it up and the flame is there. But they know not to go. And you had to do that when they were little. So what you do is you train them that no actually means no. You know what the problem with parenthood today is? Is they never tell their kids no.
That's right. Amen.
If they ask for something, they do it or give it to them. And so I'm just telling you, there's some things you need to make sure you put in your kid's life that you're like, no, we don't do this. No, we don't do that. No, we don't go here. No, we don't do this. Yes, this is where we go on Sunday. Yes, we go to church every Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday if we're having church. And you teach your children that early now, and you teach them how to tithe when they're 10 years old, they won't have no trouble tithing when they're 30 years old. You teach them to tithe on a dollar, they won't have no trouble tithing on $100,000 or whatever it might be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Adonijah had never been told no. He's not the king, and he struggles with this position. And the Bible teaches us that he devises a plan where he thought he could still get the throne. And he approaches Bathsheba instead of Solomon, because Solomon would have, what would Solomon have done? Maybe killed him on the spot, so maybe he got to live half a day longer. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, let me do this. You know where I'm going, Brother Jerry? So a child, I always hate to say kid because I grew up with goats and they were called kids. So when I say kid, I'm not calling you a goat. Some of you smell like a goat, but I'm not going to go there. Oh, no, that's junior camp. My bad. Junior camp. All kids are kids because they smell like goats anyhow. So one child goes to the parent and gets a no. So they decide to do a runaround and go to another parent and try to get yes. Amen. Parents need to be on the same page. Amen. And let me just help you with this. Because I always say this, my grandkids are trying this on me because they know I'm soft. She's the law. I'm grace. Oh, it's the other way around? Oh, my bad. You don't know your Nana. That's all I got to say about that. And so I go, well, what did your Nana say? And you know, they'll say, well, they said whatever you said. Okay, well, let's go ask her. Well, no, that's okay. Time out. Wait, you don't have to do that. Better be careful, parents. If you ain't got no kids now, write these notes down. I'm just telling you. Adonai approaches Bathsheba in order to get his own way. And it's a clever plan. It really is. The problem is, God's not brought into it. Amen. And so I see a couple of things. First thing I see is the conceit. Bathsheba asked if Adonijah comes in peace because she feared for her life earlier. If he had become king, he could have executed her and Solomon. He noticed the conceit. What do you mean conceit? He said this. Look in the text. He said, you know the kingdom was mine. That's conceit. That was his opinion, not God's opinion. In fact, he says, all Israel set their face upon me. You know I should be king. That's conceit. That's pride. Because that was not true. All of Israel did not want him to be king. God, Israel wanted, and I believe not everybody, but as a whole, I believe that they wanted the will of God. Because why would you want to be outside the will of God? The root problem of conceit, of course, is pride. Pride is what leads to the downfall. And we already saw that in the last message of Adonijah, who said, I will be king. And let me just give you some verses again about pride. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Who wrote that? Solomon. Solomon wrote that. Who do you think he was? What experiences do you think he had when he wrote that? Adonijah. Somebody say amen. Then he says this. Look at verse 15 and verse. He said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel set their faces on me. Look at this. That I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about and has become my brother's. Then I love it when actually truth comes out, for it was his from the Lord. He said, the kingdom is turned about. And you know what he's saying? Hey, my first plan didn't work. So I got my second plan. Remember when I preached a couple of weeks ago, we were in the book of Romans, and I said this, God doesn't have a plan B. He only has plan A. Well, plan A didn't work with Adonijah, so he tried plan B. It was Solomon's kingdom because the Bible says here, even from the mouth of Adonijah, that the Lord gave it to him. At least he recognizes the Lord in this, and God is the one who does the exalting. Psalm 75:7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, setteth up another. Daniel 2:21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Now, again, it's from the Lord. Everything we have, listen to this, is from the Lord. The air we breathe is from God. Never forget the truth and never forget to be grateful and thankful for the blessings that God has given. And by the way, we don't just have to have Thanksgiving to be reminded that and be thankful. And then he has a conspiracy. So not only does he have conceit, but he has conspiracy. Look at verse 16. And he says, I just want to ask one petition. It's very small. Please don't deny me. And he says, I know your son will not say no. And so she goes to her son and he says, I got one request. And Solomon goes, well, you know, I can't say no to you, Mom. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And she said, I want you to give Abishai to Adonijah. And he's like, whoa, excuse me? That's a conspiracy. Let's try to overthrow God's plan. And he assumes that Solomon would never deny his mother, and he wouldn't in a right circumstance. And so far, so good when Bathsheba says, I'll speak to Solomon. But then, verse 19 and 20, when it begins to happen, Bathsheba begins to speak to Solomon. Solomon shows respect and love for his mother. But when she says, I have this small petition, Solomon agrees to grant it to her before hearing this. Now listen to this. Who wrote Proverbs 18:13? Solomon. You know what he said there? He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Where do you think he got that one from? Yeah. Well, Mom, grant your request. I know it was respect, but before I grant your request, maybe you better tell me what it is. Because when he found out what it was, he goes, oh, there goes Adonijah again, trying to take the kingdom. Because he knew the custom of the day. Two things here. Number one, if he had taken this girl, plus he was the elder brother. That's very known in the world of the East. And I'm going to tell you this. Bathsheba realized that something was very wrong and her request turned out to be bigger than she thought. And by the way, that could be true in our own life. But let me tell you something. Being faithful and living godly and giving and witnessing and obeying the Bible, those are important matters to the Lord. Those are not small matters. Those are small matters maybe. You know, we might think, well, reading my Bible every day, that's kind of like a small matter. No, that turns into a big matter because you're able to hide the Word of God in your heart. You know, in fact, it was so important. The book of Exodus has a list of things that God said were very important. And now we call them the Ten Commandments. Let me just tell you some of them. And I'm going to give them in my own vernacular without, you know, thou shalt not. But here, listen to this. Listen to these things that are big. These are things. Worship belongs to God alone. Amen. God is concerned about His name and how it's used. Everybody with me? Amen. Our parents are to be honored. Amen. God is concerned about how we treat other people. Amen. We're not to murder, steal, lie, gossip. Here's another one. Sexual purity is important to God. Amen. God hates greed. And Solomon is upset with his mother and says this. Well, while he was asking you for the girl, did he go ahead and ask you for the whole kingdom? That's a big deal, isn't it? Amen. She didn't realize Adonijah's request was a conspiracy. Because he knew that if Abishai becomes Adonijah's wife, he can lay claim to the throne. And in the eyes of the people, a royal wife would give him claim to the throne. That's why Solomon is furious. Now, I thought about this. Adonijah had a plan, and it backfired. And he lost his life. Now, we may not necessarily lose our life, but we can lose blessings. Let me give you a list of Adonijah and Solomon. I'm going to give you Adonijah first. Number one, Adonijah was beautiful. He was a good-looking fella. But Solomon was endued with wisdom. Adonijah had goodliness. Solomon had goodness. Adonijah was, men admired Adonijah, but the Lord loved Solomon. Everybody with me? Adonijah loved himself. Solomon loved the Lord. Adonijah desired riches and honor. Solomon desired none but to have a wise heart. Adonijah acted if he was the master. Solomon remembered he was a servant. In fact, he would say later on when we get to it, he would say this, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for my father David. He said, I feel like I'm a little child. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. God, I need your wisdom. Adonijah lost everything. Solomon gained everything. Adonijah sought to force events. Adonijah waited on the Lord. I'm sorry, Solomon waited on the Lord. Adonijah repaid David with treason. Solomon reverenced his parents, both David and Bathsheba. Selfishness, greed, pride, impatience, hard heart, that's Adonijah. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Think Solomon had anything in mind when he wrote that? Yeah. See, sometimes we just read that and go, well, how does that apply to me? And it does. But it also, there's real life stories that caused Solomon to write the things that he did. I remember reading, you know, where Solomon goes, man, I remember this. I walked by this place and man, it used to be beautiful and was all cared for, and now it's all grown up and nobody's taking care of it. And there's great application to that too. Now, let me give you a New Testament application here, because Hebrews says it like this: take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, when we sin and get away from God, our heart has a little callus that grows over it. Then we sin again and we do something against the will of God, a little more callous. And if you've ever seen men who work in the field, or my dad worked on the railroad, they work out grow these calluses on their hands. If they spend a carpenter with a hammer or whatever, they do it day after day after day. It grows callous. Listen, sin causes the callousness on the heart. James says, whereas know ye not what shall be on the morrow? What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. For he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. I'm just saying to you, here's what we need to understand. And we need to ask the question, and we need to say is this: is our life in tune with God's will? Are our plans and our thoughts and our goals, does God come into play with them? One of the greatest illustrations of that is when people have come to me as their pastor over 33 years, and they'll say, I'm going to so-and-so, I'm going to move to such-and-such city. And I say, well, did you check out to see if there was a church there? Well, hopefully there is. Ooh, what? You would take your family away from a church to go make money? That's idolatry, and people don't even realize it. That's just one example. I'm just saying to you, is your life in tune with God? Do you make decisions based on money or based on the will of God? If it's not in tune, be surprised if your plans backfire and blow up right in your face, just like they did Adonijah. Make sure that your life is in line with God's. God's will, God's ways, God's word. If not, it'll blow up. Jay Leno. Care what you think about Jay Leno, but old Jay Leno, he's got like thousands of cars. And I've watched his show where, like when he got a Tesla, I watched it when he got a Tesla. I watched it when he rode in the Roadster. That thing went 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds. And while it's going down that road, he's going, I want one! I want one! Man has a need for speed. And he's got all of these cars. And I've watched his show where that guy come in and he's got cars I don't even know what they are. 1925 this, 19. But the other day, about a week ago, he was working on one of his older cars. And something happened. Blew up right in his face. I saw a picture of him. He's already had like three skin grafts on his face, where he's already had several surgeries because that gasoline engine blew up in his face. And you know what? He's going to be scarred for life. Now, when you got that much money, you can pay the best plastic surgeons to try to do the best they can. But here's what I'm saying. If your plans don't line up with God, it'll blow up in your face. And when it does, it'll leave scars. Make sure your plans line up with God's plans. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed.